So, I wanted to start with a number that, well, it really jumped out at me. Every single minute, 500 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube.
Wow.
And every day, something like 100,000 new tracks hit Spotify. The internet has what economists call infinite shelf space.
It's a bottomless pit. Yeah, you can just keep throwing content into it and it never ever gets full.
Exactly. But here's the problem, and this is really the core tension we're unpacking today. Businesses are hitting a wall. The platforms, they want infinite content, but businesses are run by humans.
And humans operate in linear time.
Right. Biology is the bottleneck. If I want to write a really good, deep dive blog post, it's 3, maybe 4 hours. A video, that could be 2 days of work.
You just can't feed the machine fast enough.
No. And that's where today's topic comes in. We're looking at a piece of tech called the Auto Content API. And I want to be really clear right up front. This isn't just another writing assistant.
No, this is not about asking an AI to, like, fix your grammar. The source material is very specific. They call it industrial infrastructure.
Yeah, the phrase that stuck with me was the content factory. The whole promise is that you can take a single input, a URL, a PDF, whatever, and just instantly transform it.
Into a podcast, a video, a blog post, all at the same time.
Simultaneously, without a human ever hitting record or opening an editing app.
So today, we're going to tear this documentation apart. We're looking at the API-first philosophy, the economics of it all, and frankly, whether this thing actually works or if it's just, more AI hype.
It's a mental shift, isn't it? From manual creation to automated transformation.
That's the key. That's the mental model for this whole deep dive.
Okay, so before we get into the nuts and bolts, I want to stick on the why. Because we need more content sounds a bit like a generic corporate slogan. Why does a business really need to automate this?
It comes down to a concept the sources mentioned called mental availability. It's a marketing term, but it's crucial. In the old days, say 20 to 10, you built a website that was your storefront.
And people came to you.
Exactly. The era is completely dead. Nobody just wakes up and types a URL into their browser anymore. Discovery happens in the feed.
So growth today comes from being where the customer is.
You have to intersect with their life. Maybe they read a newsletter over coffee, listen to a podcast on their commute, watch a YouTube short at lunch. You have to be omnipresent.
But the cost of that is, well, it's painful. I was looking at the breakdown on the white paper. To outsource a single high-quality podcast episode,
That's the number.
it's anywhere from $100 to like $15,000.
Wow. And that's just audio. A professional short-form video project. That's 3 to 10 grand.
Right. So unless you're a massive company, you have to pick a lane. You say, okay, we're a blog company or we're a YouTube channel. You can't afford all of them.
You're leaving money on the table. And that's where this API paradigm really changes the math. Auto Content API is all about content transformation.
So the idea is that most businesses already have the knowledge.
Yes. It's just sitting there. It's in a 50-page report or a database or a blog post from 3 years ago. The value is there, it's just trapped.
It's like having a gold bar, but you need coins for the vending machine. You have the value, but you can't actually spend it.
That's a great analogy. The API lets them take that gold bar, that boring PDF, and say, turn this into a radio show. Turn this into a TikTok.
So it shifts the cost curve.
Yeah.
Manual creation is linear, right? You pay for every single minute of new content.
But automated transformation is logarithmic. Once the system's set up, making 10 formats costs barely more than making one. And the inputs are so flexible, URLs, text, even existing YouTube videos.
Wait, so it can watch a video.
Yeah, you can feed it your competitor's video and it can analyze it, pull out the key points, and then, write a blog post refuting it. Video is just another data source.
Okay, let's talk outputs, starting with audio, because we've seen a lot of buzz around Google's Notebook LM. How is this different from that?
The documentation actually calls this the Notebook LM API alternative. The big difference is consumer versus enterprise. Notebook LM is a tool you go to. You drag and drop a file. It's a manual process.
It's an island. You can't build a business process on top of it.
Exactly. Auto content is API first. It's programmable. A news publisher could write a script that sends 500 articles to the API at 6 a.m. By 6:05, they have 500 podcast episodes ready for Spotify.
That's the scale difference. And no humans involved.
Right. But what about the quality? Because if it sounds like a 1990s GPS voice, nobody's going to listen.
Yeah, that robotic voice is the kiss of death for engagement.
So they highlight this transformation engine. It's not just text-to-speech. It doesn't just read the article. It actually rewrites it into a dialogue.
Oh, like what we're doing now, a back and forth.
Exactly. Two speakers. It mimics a conversation to keep your brain engaged. But the feature that really caught my eye was the voice cloning. They call it the CEO paradox.
I highlighted that section too. It's such a specific, real pain point.
It is. People want to hear from the founder, from the CEO. They trust people, not logos. But the CEO is the busiest person in the company.
So they can't be in a recording booth every day.
But with this, they don't have to be. The CEO records a few minutes of audio one time. The system builds a voice model. And from then on, marketing can generate daily CEO updates in their voice.
That is wild. So the CEO could be on a plane and their voice is on a podcast talking about a market crash that happened 5 minutes ago?
It completely decouples the voice from the person's physical time. And this all leads to what they call instant globalization.
The translation piece. This part felt like magic.
It's more than just translation. It's resynthesis.
Mm.
So a U.S. company drops an English podcast. The API can transcribe it, translate it, and then regenerate the audio in Spanish, German, Japanese.
You're not just getting subtitles. You're getting a native listening experience for, say, a German user.
Instantly. The source says this lets a brand multiply their total addressable market, their TAM by, like, 5x overnight, without hiring a single local team.
That's a massive advantage. If you can speak to a customer in their own language, the trust level just shoots up.
In a crowded market, that trust is everything.
Okay, let's switch to video. Because if you want raw reach, the internet right now demands video, specifically short form vertical video.
There's short form imperative.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stats are crazy. And the algorithms on TikTok and Shorts, they're just hungry. They want 3 to 5 posts a day.
Which is a recipe for burnout. If I told a video editor to make 5 videos a day, every day, they'd quit in a week.
Of course. So the API has this endpoint. For you, create Shorts. You give it a script, and it spits out a 9.16 vertical video with an AI avatar, lip syncing, subtitles, the whole thing.
These are those faceless channels you see everywhere.
Exactly. But this is enterprise grade, and it enables a strategy called creative testing at scale.
Okay. Break that down. What's the cost difference look like?
Well, the source estimates a freelance short video costs between, say, $50 and $300.
Okay.
With the API, a short video costs about 400 credits. On their business plan, that's roughly 4 euros.
4 euros versus up to $300. That's not just a better margin. That's a whole different economic reality.
It's the game changer. At that price, you can afford to be wrong. You can make 90 videos that completely flop, just to find the 10 that go viral.
You don't have to guess what will work. You just flood the zone and let the data tell you.
It turns marketing into a statistics game.
Yeah.
And it's not just for social media, right? They talk about using these for SEO as explainer videos.
This seemed really practical, the dwell time thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Google wants people to stay on your page. If they click and leave in 5 seconds, Google thinks your page is bad. Video keeps them there.
And the claim was that it makes a page 53 times more likely to rank on page one.
53 times. It sounds high, but it makes sense. People stop scrolling to watch. But you can't manually make a custom video for every single landing page.
But with the API, you could. You could crawl your own documentation and make a 60-second explainer for every single feature.
Exactly. You get that SEO boost across the entire site without the production nightmare.
I want to push back on something, though. We're talking about generating thousands of pieces of content. How do you know it's accurate? We all know AIs hallucinate.
That's the biggest barrier, right? Hallucination risk. And they address this with the deep research endpoint.
How is that different from just asking ChatGPT a question?
ChatGPT is just remembering its training data. It's looking at the past. This deep research endpoint uses agents to browse the live web right now.
So it's reading today's news.
It's reading reputable sources. The docs mention FT.com, government sites, medical journals, and it cross-references everything. And crucially, the output has citations and confidence scores.
Hmm. So it shows its work. It says, I found this on Bloomberg, and I'm 99% sure it's correct.
Precisely. And that allows for a feature they call the monitor.
The executive dashboard thing.
Yeah. A CEO can set a task, scan for new competitors in the AI space. Every 24 hours, the API runs that search and generates a private daily podcast summarizing the findings.
So I could get in my car and listen to a custom podcast telling me what my competitors did yesterday.
That's it. It's an intelligence engine. And that speed leads to something they call newsjacking.
I love that term.
It's about injecting your brand into a breaking news story. The documentation describes a reaction loop.
Okay, walk me through it.
Right. So the API detects a trending topic on X or Reddit. Let's say crypto crash.
Okay, panic in the streets. Everyone is searching for answers.
For step two,
yeah.
The API triggers deep research to figure out why. It finds the regulatory news that caused it. Step three, it synthesizes that into a script. Step four, it sends that script to the video endpoint. Step five is publish.
And how long does that whole loop take?
The source says about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. So before a traditional news outlet has even assigned a reporter, your brand has a video out explaining the situation.
You own the narrative. You capture all that search traffic. That's internet speed.
That's incredible. But let's talk about the plumbing. The sources keep saying this is API first. This isn't just a website you log into, is it?
No, it's headless. It's designed to be triggered by code. But they also have no code integrations with tools like Make.com and Zapier.
Right. I saw that blog to podcast example.
It's a classic automation. A new item appears on your blog's RSS feed. It triggers the API, which converts the text to an MP3 and uploads it to your podcast host.
So you write a blog post, hit publish, and a podcast just appears on Spotify.
It just happens. And this is how they solve the problem of programmatic SEO.
Explain that, because usually PSEO sounds like spam, creating thousands of pages.
It can be spam. If you just copy and paste text and change the city name, weekend in Austin, weekend in Dallas, Google hates that. It's thin content.
Right.
But this API solves that by generating unique multimedia for each page. For the Austin page, it creates a unique video about Austin sites and a unique audio guide to Austin restaurants.
Ah, so you suddenly have 5,000 pages that are all genuinely unique and high value. That's incredibly smart. It scales quality, not just text.
And the cost model is the only reason this is even possible.
So what does this factory actually cost? Is it a six-figure enterprise contract?
No, the business tier is about 108 euros a month for 10,000 credits.
And what does 10,000 credits get you, roughly?
It's about 1,000 podcast episodes or 25 short videos.
So for the price of a nice dinner, you could run a daily podcast for a month.
Yeah, the comparison in the white paper is striking. Mm. For the price of 1 hour of a freelancer's time, you can run a daily podcast for a month.
It just changes the economics entirely.
Yeah.
Content stops being this expensive project and becomes a cheap utility like electricity.
That's the shift. You stop asking, can we afford to make this?
Yeah.
And you start asking, what should we make?
So if we zoom out, what does this all mean for the future of the web?
The docs hint at something called the agentic web.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's mostly humans creating content for other humans.
And the future is?
The future is AI agents reading content to answer questions for humans. When you ask ChatGPT something, it's reading the web for you.
So if my content isn't structured in a way an AI can read, I basically disappear.
You're invisible. This API outputs structured data JSON so other AIs can easily digest your brand's information. You're optimizing for the robots.
It feels like we are right on the edge of a massive shift from creating content to managing the content machine.
I think that's the perfect way to put it. The factory is open. It's running 24/7. The barrier to production is basically zero now.
Which leaves me with one final thought for everyone listening. If that barrier is zero, if anyone can make 1,000 videos tomorrow for a few euros, then the competitive advantage isn't making the stuff anymore. That skill is being commoditized.
No, the advantage becomes strategy. It's deciding what to make.
Exactly. So in a world of infinite automated noise, does the value of the human idea, that original spark, go up? Or does it just get drowned out by the machine?
That is the question every creator and every business needs to be asking themselves right now.